A Solemn Charge. 1904. Dr. Kellogg's father, just before he died, besought me not to let the doctor follow his own judgment. "Do you think, Sister White," he said, "that he will stand firm in the truth? I greatly fear for him. Do not leave him to himself, for Satan to lead in false paths." Twice his mother told me that she had grave fears for John. "He is in some things inclined to infidelity," she said. "I pray that he will not permit this inclination to draw him away from the fountain of truth. He is in great peril, but do not give him up. Hold him fast before God. Your influence means more to him than any other person's. When he is reproved, he will say that he does not believe the testimonies, but do not let him go." I have tried to hold fast to Dr. Kellogg. When in Oakland, attending the recent general conference, I purposed to declare to him many things that the Lord had presented to me. I was very sorry for him, and I believed that he would write up and save himself by breaking his heart before God. But I was not permitted to talk with him, because he would say things that were not true and would misreport to his associates the words that I might speak. I have feared to say to Dr. Kellogg the plain things given me for him, lest he should be led to take a course that would forever decide his case. Had I, when in Oakland, borne the message that I thought I should have to bear, it might have resulted in Dr. Kellogg's taking his position fully with the powers of darkness. This he has been about to do again and again, but has not fully done it. The Lord still has thoughts of mercy toward John Kellogg, but the fallen angels are close by his side, communicating with him. I am so sorry that Dr. Paulson has not heeded the caution that I gave him in Oakland. I was instructed to talk with him and tell him some things that he should know. But while he admitted certain things, he did not see where he himself was in danger. I have had great confidence in Dr. Paulson, but when I heard that he was trying to make it appear that the sentiments expressed in Living Temple in regard to God could be sustained by my writings, I was obliged to make a statement in denial of this, that our people might not be deceived. The Lord has been very merciful to Dr. Paulson, but he is in great danger. His eyes are blinded. He is accepting as truth the specious sophistry of the enemy. For some time, Dr. Kellogg has been revealing what spirit has been controlling him. The Lord will take this matter in his own hands. I must bear the testimonies of warning that he gives me to bear, and then leave with him the results. I have tried to present the matter in all its bearings, for the people of God must not be despoiled. We have a consistent God. The theories that Dr. Kellogg is now advocating are similar to the theories that Satan presented to the holy pair in Eden. Dr. Kellogg has been warned, counseled, and reproved, but he has followed his own way. The work of God, as seen in nature, reveals his power. But nature is not above God, nor is God in nature, as some represent him to be. God made the world, but the world is not God. It is but the work of his hands. Nature reveals the work of a positive, personal God, showing that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let us take the word of God as the man of our counsel. As we diligently study this word, we shall be able to serve the Lord more intelligently and more earnestly. We shall be made better able to represent Christ, for we shall be imbued with his Spirit. The warning message given to the church in Sardis comes to us today. "I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received, and hold fast, and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3, verse 1 to 3.